One of the first public meetings that I was privileged to attend following open heart surgery was an open house sponsored by a 70s quorum, where they invited non-member friends to listen to the doctrines of the kingdom. They selected as their theme that night, "Open up your hearts." When it became my turn to speak, I said, "I'm a little sensitive on that subject, but I want President Kimball and his counselors and all my brethren to know that I have listened in this conference with an open heart. I have been sensitive to their counsel, and we will recommit myself to the great work ahead." The weather is beginning to be glorious again here by the Wasatch Range and throughout many parts of the world. Even the thin birds have reappeared. The fat birds are those that's remained here during the cold season, overate and became rotund. The thin birds flew hundreds of miles to stay warm, kept in shape, and have returned with wan looks on their feathered faces. Whether they are birds of passage or frost-bound non-achievers, they remind us of this truth spoken of by the Master. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Indeed, you know, as I know, the Lord does watch over each one of us with love, and for that I'm very grateful. In springtime, too, as Tennyson said, a young man's fancy turns to thoughts of love. On campuses everywhere, the three R's tend to become romance and red roses. One tragedy of love has occurred already this year. A beardless youth became so enamored of a young miss, although she did not encourage him, that each day for 47 consecutive days, he wrote her a special delivery letter, until finally on the 48th day, she eloped with a mailman. The lad is probably blessed, since all he had to offer the lady was a mission yet unserved, a college education one quarter complete, and no funds. He had spent all of his money on the stamps. Spring is a time of rebirth of living things from their wintry cover. It typifies and reminds us of the literalness of the resurrection of all living things. Significant to me is the fact that our Lord emerged from the tomb in the springtime. Spring also, with her bursting buds, many colors, and manifestation of teeming life, inspires new hope and gives promise of happy days. Indeed, this time of nature's rebirth should give us pause for reflection, assessment, and commitment to life's higher priorities. You'll recall the words of the Old Testament poet, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." A time to every purpose under heaven, suggesting that there's a proper sequence of all things. Our prophet, President Kimball, has counseled you young people, particularly young men, as to that proper sequence. Would you note the sequence of events that will bring orderliness and happiness to your life? And I quote from our prophet, "One can have all the blessings if he's in control and takes the experiences in proper turn. First, some limited social get-acquainted contacts, then his mission, then his courting, then his temple marriage, and then his schooling and his family, then his life's work. Now note, in any other sequence, he could run into difficulty." Now for a few moments, may we talk about this sequence in proper turn. One, a time for preparation. First, for many young men, now is the time for preparation. Preparation for a planned mission. It's a time for you to apply yourselves in school, to concentrate on the foundation of a good education so that when you are called as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you will represent him with the dignity befitting one who holds his priesthood. It's a time when I would challenge you to read the scriptures, a time to learn to know your Heavenly Father in prayer, It's also a time to be cautious in your associations with the opposite sex. For again, as President Kimball has cautioned, and I quote, "When you get in the teenage years, your social association should still be general acceptance and acquaintance with boys and girls. Any dating or pairing off in social contact should be postponed until at least age 16 or older. And even then, there should be much judgment used. Young people should still limit the close contacts for several years, since the boy will be going on his mission when he's 19 years old. To the young men of the priesthood, if you haven't served a mission, this is not the time for a lot of involvement in love or romance. It's a time for saving money. Do you know how much a mission costs today? It averages approximately $150 a month. For a two-year mission, that's $3,600. One young man was startled when his father sat down with him to figure out how he could earn that money, noting that in the most productive earning time would be from 16 to 19, they figured he would have to save at least $1,000 a year for that three-year period. This also meant that the young man had to earn another $600 before age 16. He was then 12 to save sufficiently for his mission. Many, hopefully, start earlier than that. You've heard some of our young men say, but I can't find a job. No one will hire me. May I suggest to you the example of a 13-year-old who has already produced some handbills that he's passing out in his neighborhood? The handbill reads, "When you're on vacation and some need someone to care for your yard, or if you want any odd jobs done, call Bill, because when you call me, I'll be there." He then signed his name with his phone number. He already has his summer filled with work. Preparation for a mission, however, is not just a matter of economics. It's a time above all else to keep yourself clean in mind and clean in habits. What counsel could be more plain than that of our prophet's words? And again, I quote, "There must never be any sex of any kind prior to marriage." Second, a time for marriage. For others of you, after an honorably served mission, it's a time to prepare for marriage. To those of you to whom this applies, our president has said, and again I quote, "Now is the time for you to plan good, strong marriages and organize your programs and set your standards and solidify your determination to prepare for that married period in your lives, which will be beautiful and rewarding." This does not suggest that you rush into marriage impulsively without proper preparation, forethought, and inspiration. It does say that marriage is a responsibility that cannot be avoided if one desires life's greatest fulfillment and eternity's highest possibilities. So after an honorable mission, it's a proper time for courtship, a time to plan a marriage worthy of the Lord's blessings. Once you can see the vision of what the Lord has in store for you, I'm confident you will want to make any sacrifice necessary to achieve those blessings. To you men in your late 20s and early 30s not yet married, read again the possibilities as he has described them to us in the Doctrine and Covenants 131 and 132. Third, a time for family. In proper sequence, in proper order, first preparation for a mission, next an honorably served mission, then a temple marriage, and next a time to have a family, to complete one's schooling and plan for your life's work. Some ask the question, shouldn't we get our education first and then have our family? I know of no scriptures or authorities, admonishes President Kimball, which authorize young wives to delay their families. Young married couples can make their way and reach their educational heights if they are determined to do so. My, what sound counsel to any of us who have gone through the educational process. We can only endorse the counsel of our prophet. Again, may you be reminded of the prophet's admonition. In any other sequence, you may or could run into difficulty. Philip Pepe, in his excellent book, The Wit and Wisdom of Yogi Berra, notes that when in 1972 the remarkable Major League catcher and manager was voted into baseball's Hall of Fame, an honor which I believe Yogi Berra richly deserved, he addressed a select audience with one of his famous statements. It was, "I thank everybody for making this day necessary." Yogi Berra spoke in much wiser terms than he knew. He had come all the way from the dirt of a St. Louis slum to the pinnacle of his profession, had withstood ridicule about his personal appearance, had found a lovely wife, had been named Father of the Year, had earned the admiration of all who knew him so well. May I suggest to you that the sequence of proper preparation for a mission, an honorably served mission, a temple marriage, and a family are the order that makes our days necessary rather than merely possible. May you, my young Latter-day Saints, choose that sequence that will bring you joy in this life and in the eternities to come. And so it is, I feel about the youth of this great country and particularly this church. And I think you know I do. You and I are friends. Wherever you are in this world, young man, and wherever you are in this universal church, young lady, my prayers and those of all who sit here are that you may choose that sequence in life which will lead you on to great achievement, each orderly step along the way. Now, you've heard wise counsel from this pulpit. I add my concern for you and my witness that I too know that God lives. And I think you know, I know, he lives. God bless us to put that into action. I pray as I leave my blessing and my prayer here this day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.